This is the BBC.
Hello and welcome to the weekly wonders of the Chris Evans Brekkie Show Best Bits. This week, amazing athlete Denise Lewis sprints into the studio to preview this weekend's World Athletic Championships on the BBC. Superstar actress Holiday Grainger joins us to discuss her upcoming adaptation of J.K. Rowling's novel Strike, Cuckoo's Calling. And there's live music courtesy of the Waterboys playing tunes from their 12th album, Out of All This Blue. Oh, and there's me, Noel Fitzpatrick. I tell Chris all about Animal Rescue Live, running every night next week on Channel 4. So sit back, relax, and enjoy that Chris Evans Breakfast Show podcast.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show.
We have the super vet, Noel Fitzpatrick, in to talk about something that's happening on Channel 4 next week. But if you want a live surgery with him, if you want to ask a question about your pet, questions to Noel Fitzpatrick about animals animal issues you may have with any of your pets, but they can be no bigger than a mouse. On the way, we have Denise Lewis, Holiday Grainger, the Waterboys, and coming next, Noel Fix Pet Tricks, says Joe. Do you like that?
Yeah, like I'm going to own it. Thanks, Joe.
Okay,
yeah.
No problem. Change your word, take a third.
Good morning, Britain, and welcome to another day here on planet Earth.
All right, guest Friday, live guest this morning, live music from the Waterboys, and lots of pre-excitement on the text, emails, Twitter, and face cloth about the Waterboys. Now, we often get adulation after the band's play, but very rarely before. So many people looking forward to the Waterboys. But first of all, taking charge of this magical Friday menagerie is a veterinary genius who's on a mission to rehouse the nation's sheltered pets. Oh, that's what he's doing. Finding happy homes for our purring pals and barking beasties on Animal Rescue Live all next week on Channel 4. It's super vet Noel Fitz Pets Tricks. There you go. What do you think about that, Noel?
Are you?
Do you like that?
Yeah, it's good.
Excellent.
It's very, very good. You're getting better at introducing me as well. That's really good.
Well, it's to be honest, the introductions are being written better.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. It's
or
brilliant.
I'm actually
Thanks
reading
very much
them.
For having me on
they're written
again.
Every week, but I often make them
I'm
up.
I'm taking a holiday next week.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going up to Newcastle. It's great.
Oh, don't get onto that yet.
Yeah, no, I am.
No, don't get on. I know you are. I know you're going
to. Other things to talk about.
I know. No, this first of all, we have to talk about the fact that Robert Hardy's died. Robert Hardy's passed away. And I know you were a big fan of All Creatures Great and Small, weren't you?
Actually, really strange situation. You and I haven't spoken about this. Really strange that you introduced that. I was a huge fan of All Creatures Great and Small. And I believe he did that for like 12 years or something. And that influenced pretty much, I think, everything I do. And pretty much everything a whole generation of people do, and I guess in a very large way, he inspires what I do nowadays, super vet, because I want to inspire kids, and I had the magnificent good fortune to actually meet the guy.
Did you really?
And something you don't actually know, which is extraordinary. In my former life, I actually was on a television, actual mini movie, acting with him.
No way.
I was actually, yeah.
So this is Robert Hardy, who played James Herriot in All Creatures Great and Small. Now, I thought it was every Sunday night, didn't you? It was Sundays, wasn't it? People are saying Saturdays to me.
I don't know. I can't remember what night
it was. I don't
think
it matters.
I think in
it,
Ireland we had to watch it on catch-up anyway, which was probably several months later.
Well, here we go. The headlines are Hardy actor follows starters vet Siegfried and Churchill. Of course, very famous playing Winston Churchill as well. Gruff, elegant and twinkly actor Robert Hardy passes away at the age of 91. That's Telegraph and the Sun. Brilliant at everything but marriage. Robert Hardy dies at 91.
He was a very nice man when I met him.
That's the man.
And a joy to be around. And loads of stories. He had fantastic stories about even the farm days. And in those days, when they were filming the show, they didn't have the health and safety regulations we have now. So they got to do everything. I'm like, really? What, they let you do that? And he's like, cow cesareans. You know, we had all that down, you know. Oh, yeah, you know. Those were not the days of gloves. Unbelievable.
Gloves.
Unbelievable.
Okay, right. TV titan that you are. Channel 4 have now recognised you this officially. What you do is you compel, you attract millions of loyal viewers who stick with you through thick and thin, not only in this country, but tens of millions across the world, to the extent that they've now entrusted 5 straight nights of live television with you next week.
How mental is that?
Well, we'll see. Well, we'll find out.
Well, it's quite a responsibility, isn't it? I mean, I've not done this kind of thing before. I turn up, I try and get as many animals who have been abandoned, who need love in their lives, and who are yearning out for new families. And families who are yearning out for them. Ups
so,
and downs.
So where's this going to happen? Up north?
Yeah, it's going to happen in Newcastle.
Right.
Fortunately for me, I'm working alongside Steve Jones on the sofa and Kate Quilton up in the loft. She has her own loft. And our objective is very simple. So when we started talking about this show, I thought, how can you bring love into the world in a real and tangible way in the face of society that has gone mad? And I was listening to all the bad news on the radio and on the television. I'm like, this is mental. And the only way that I thought, okay, I can bring love into the world is match animals in the greatest dating that ever existed on planet Earth.
That's a nice way of putting it.
With the perfect family.
Like
so
that.
it was the greatest animal-human dating extravaganza that ever existed, and we would absolutely do everything we could to be the messengers for that. But remember, they're going through the normal adoption process.
Yes,
we're
yes,
just
yes.
the advocates, the yes, messengers, the raising awareness.
So blind
scenario.
Day for pets live on the telly.
That's the plan.
This is good, isn't
and
it?
And the plan is, you know, you introduce a rabbit to their beautiful new home. You introduce a dog to their beautiful new home.
I was going to say, all kinds of animals?
All kinds, yeah.
How many animals?
Well, there's 150
right.
in the shelter in Newcastle,
right.
and it's my personal dream to get all 150 of those rehomed in the week.
Right.
Now, that's a tall order, to be fair, because you have to sit down. The team are going to be mental busy, and if people want to know, they have to either contact Newcastle or go on the Channel 4 website. But we're there, and we're going to be interviewing some people, hopefully, and
yes.
saying, I'm sorry, mate, you know, you snore too loud for that dog.
Yeah, sleep apnea and not good for the dog.
I'm sorry, but people need to understand they have it's a two-way street of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I genuinely thought, in a world where all you hear about is man's inhumanity to man, what is the greatest human thing we can put into humanity? And actually, it's love, isn't it? So I thought if I could bring that unconditional love with animals who had had all kinds of ups and downs. You know, these animals have been abandoned. They've been put out on street corners. They may have been rescued from puppy farms,
right.
from all kinds of horrible, horrible things. And we're going to deal with some of those things head on.
I bet you are.
Well, if I'm in the seat, it could be a car
messing
crash.
Messing about.
Because I'm going to bring it on.
Now, with my TV production hat on,
yeah.
what if they all go in the first 5 minutes? What are you going to do for the rest of the week?
That isn't going to happen, unfortunately, because there's loads
of...
We're not. Because
yes,
there's
are.
An endless number of abandoned animals in the United Kingdom. So it's not just one shelter.
Mm.
We're visiting in shelters all over the United Kingdom.
Same.
And we're gonna drop in and out of shelters in Wales and down south and up north. And we're going to try and cover the whole United Kingdom. So in your ideal scenario, we would, in fact, rehome, match up in a not so blind date, an educated date scenario, every animal that needs love in the United Kingdom with every human that needs love in the
could
United Kingdom.
Could this happen?
It could.
Within a week?
Everything's impossible till it happens, Chris, and you and I both know that.
Yeah, good. I can see you're very fired up about this.
I'm
and
on
also,
fire.
Also, you've thought it through.
I think it's one of the very few things in life I have a plan for.
That's why I'm sort of amazed, to be honest. Now, are any of the people that you're working with this week, you've mentioned two, there are others, there's a production team.
There are others,
Are any of them aware, and I hope they're listening now, and if you're not, you need to know this, are they aware that you never sleep? Because you need to tell them this.
They're also not aware that I've never done more than 2 minutes of live television
well,
before.
Well, there is that. I was going to go into that later, but I was going to hit them with the sleep thing first.
I think they're looking forward to that. I'm sure Steve Jones needs that for his Formula One career. And
yes.
Kate has a surname, Quilton. So she's just...
She has sleeping in her name.
Yeah, she has sleeping in her actual
right.
name.
But do they know that you never sleep?
I
Are
don't
they aware
think they
of
know
that?
Very much
okay.
about me.
No,
but about
never
to find
sleeps,
out.
Ever.
About to find out.
Ever. Never known to sleep since he was born. BBC Radio 2. Okay, now I think we need to play, as a tribute to Robert Hardy and All Creatures Great and Small, I think we need to play the theme tune to All Creatures Great and Small while we have this sort of live small pet surgery with Noel Fitzpatrick on the radio. Are you ready for this?
I love this.
Okay, Professor Fitzpatrick, here we have your first caller, Gary Thompson from Nottingham. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Christopher. How are you?
I'm very well. You're through to Noel Fitzpatrick's.
Excellent. Right, Noel, I've got a problem. I've got a pet rat. His name's Aldi. He used to run around and watch telly. particularly like Top Gear, and he's gone a little bit limp. I've got him a mate called Quattro.
Oh, nice. Good good car analogies there. Great.
Exactly, but he's still a little bit lethargic.
So he doesn't have his extra turbo-powered booster engine anymore?
He doesn't, yeah. His turbo's lagging, to be honest with you.
How old is he now?
He's 3.5. I mean, I don't know how long rats live for.
Well, what's he actually doing? Has he got lumps and bumps? Has he got stiff joints?
He looks healthy enough. He's just like lost his zing.
Is he eating okay?
Yeah. All's good. He just looks depressed.
Is it just a Top Gear scenario?
No, not really. I don't think so. I think he's not been missing Chris, but apart from that. No.
So, and your new pal has come along. That hasn't cheered him up either.
No. I mean, Quattro's a female.
Yeah.
So I've given him an introduction. They get on all right, but he's just like not bothered.
You need a blood sample, mate. I think that's where you're going to start out. You got to go to your vet and get a blood sample, see all his internal organs are okay. He might be getting some joint problems. He might be getting older.
How old do rats... What's the life expectancy of a domestic rat?
I don't know. I was just thinking that, because I rarely see rats. That's
have you seen Ratatouille?
No, I haven't.
What do you think of animal-themed, animated
I love them. I actually love them.
What's your favourite?
My favourite is Ice Age 2. It's, in fact, in my top three movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah, but hardly any of those animals exist anymore.
Okay. Which is unfortunate. But of course, you know, with animation and showbiz's help, they'll live forever. All right, question number two from Paula in Kidderminster. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Very well. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
OK, you're through to the super vet, Noel Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Paula. How are you?
Hi, Noel. I'm good, thank you. My question is about Mo, who is, again, a rescue hamster. We've had him about a year. And I got him because nobody else wanted him because he had a funny leg. And the leg, it's a bit weird. You know when you have people and they've got the ability to their arms in different ways? Well, he has a little leg that he can twist round. It doesn't harm him. He doesn't feel uncomfortable. It's just weird. No one's been able to figure out how he can sort of move his leg round.
First of all, Chris has introduced me to the world of small pets live on air, which is terribly cruel. But I am now honour bound to deal with these problems, which I'm going to do. And actually, I have seen this one before, so you'll be pleased to hear I do have some experience in this arena. So the leg is bent around, front leg or back leg?
Front leg.
Okay, and it's bent inwards or outwards?
Outwards.
Okay, so probably he's doing fine without any fixing, but I guess your concern is whether the little fella's in pain or not, or you think he's not in pain.
The vet said he's not because he's running around, he's playing on his little wheel, eating light loads.
Well, I had one like this before. First of all, as long as he's not in pain, there's no problem having him on three legs. Secondly, if he is in pain, I actually have had one of these where we've taken a little X-ray, and I'm holding a tiny little piece of wood that I've just been stirring my coffee with here, and I made a little splint out of this tiny lollipop stick for probably 20, 30 times I've done this in these little creatures, and straightened their leg when they had a joint dislocation or something like that. So it is entirely possible to actually fix him, and on more than one occasion I've actually operated on him and put him back together again. Yes, it's pretty small, but it is possible.
Pretty small. Well, thank you for your call. Thank you very much. I hope you're happy there, Paul in Kidderminster.
Remember, quality of life. If he's fine on three, that's fine.
Thank you. Have a great day yourself. So when you say small X-ray, do you have a small X-ray machine?
Well, nowadays the X-ray machines are incredibly powerful and all digital, but just like your dental dentist would take, there's a tiny one that you can take tiny frogs even. And small turtles.
Love the idea of small X-rays.
Tiny little turtles.
Right, we've got time for one more, but we've got to be quick. Sorry, because here we go with Giles, who's age 7 from Nottingham. Good morning, Giles. Sorry, Amanda. Hello, Amanda from Nottingham.
Hi. Hi, Chris. Hi, Noel.
Hi, Amanda. So you're speaking on behalf of Giles and his goldfish. So off you go.
I have budgies.
Budgies.
Sorry, we've lost Giles and his goldfish. Now, you love
budgies,
a budgie, don't
budgies.
You?
Budgies, bring it on.
Okay,
bring
off you go, on. Amanda.
I have budgies. One of them, Fred, who's a female, always seems to have really long claws. Now, last time I went to the vets, they said, don't bother about coming back to get them clipped, they'll be fine, but they just seem to be growing quite long.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say that you probably do need to clip him if you're having trouble getting on the perch. But bear in mind that you got to take your vet's advice, and sometimes the quick is really long and they can bleed. Yes. So don't try that one at home.
Yes, be very careful, because you've had issues.
I have had lots of issues
with people who've
department.
Tried to cut their own budgie's claws, another sort of domestic bird's claws, and you go too close and
create a disaster.
You have
So, but do take advice on that, and it is possible nowadays to detect how long the quick is. But take your vet's advice. But take care of those nails.
All right, take care of the nails and your own. While you're at it, here's the travel with Lynn.
Thank you. Berwick-upon-Tweed, good news. A1 all open again. It was closed for a while. Either side of the River Tweed. Gateshead broken down lorry on the A1 Western Bypass northbound at the Angel of the North. The queues are back onto the A1M, back to Chesterley Street at Junction 63. North of Derby, A38, very good news. Southbound reopening between Ripley and Coxbench. We've got a problem north of Birmingham. The M6 is busy. Northbound Junction 12 to 13, Gailey through to Stamford. Some slow traffic there following a problem. M25 anti-clockwise busy. 28. The A12 to 27, the M11, after an accident was moved to the hard shoulder. M5 northbound, Junction 21, Western Supermare. Two lanes are closed after the accident. Very long queues on the approach. And in Devon, there's a lane closed by an accident on the A30. It's westbound between Honiton and the M5 at Junction 29. I'm back with more in half an hour.
Oh, she's good. She's very, very good. 8:30, right? We have some live music. Good morning. We have some live music. We have live music in 1 minute from now from the Water Boys. Noel's sticking with us. We didn't get to Giles with his goldfish.
We will do.
You're thinking probably best, though, aren't you?
Might
you call Giles back off the air, Noel?
Might be a challenge.
All right, okay. Right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome live in the studio now, joining myself and Noel. It's only the Water Boys. Good morning, gentlemen. Are you ready to rock?
We are, Chris.
Okay, the first of four. Here we go. Guess what's first? The first of four this morning, the Water Boys' 12th album, Out of All This Blue, is released on Friday, the 8th of September, and they begin a UK tour in Bristol on the 18th of October. And already, all so much love coming in for you guys. Here we go. Christoph, is there a better song anywhere, anytime than Hole of the Moon? I very much doubt it. And that was AB. Was that Noel singing? Yes. John in Strood. Water Boys, we played the Hole of the Moon as our first dance at the wedding 25 years. Okay, they're amazing live. We are both listening. Tell Marie I still love her after 34 years together, says Darren. He still loves you. There you go. Saw the Water Boys in 1984 supporting U2 at the Brixton Academy. What a night that must have been. Still sounding fantastic, says Dave in Grantham. Boys, it's great to have you here. Noel Fitzpatrick with us also. Lots of reaction to Noel so far. Chris, just want to say thank you to Noel. I watched his show where a cat had Homer's syndrome. Then my cat had an accident and I was able to tell the vet what I thought it was, and it was that. Thanks, Noel, from Tracy.
Great, you're welcome.
Cool. Rats live 2 to 3 years of age, so the guy with the rat is already having bonus time.
Oh, dear God.
With his little loved one, yes. Also, they should always be kept in groups, but never mix the sexes, says Mark Zephyr, rat stud. There you are. No news for all of us there,
Earl. News for us.
Morning, Chris. The team love Fitzpatrick's show next week. Sounds a dream, and I would love to see a special dog called Max get adopted. We sponsor him, having seen him for so long at the shelter there, and next time we visit, we would love to know that he's found his forever home, says Ellen. So whilst the pets are there, they can be sponsored. Is that the deal?
Well, the team behind us at the shelters across the United Kingdom, but particularly where we are up north in Newcastle, match him up, and we just say, okay, here's somebody that wants him, here's someone that wants him. Let's see how they get on. Right. And it's all about matching the right people and telling them what responsibilities they have, because we have a big slobbery dog de Bordeaux early on in the show, and he's a massive creature with saliva everywhere. Now he needs a very specific kind of daddy.
You need
mommy.
A mop and bucket for a starter.
Yes.
All right, Noel's Animal Rescue Live's on Channel 4 every night next week at 8 p.m. So the Water Boys played with U2 back at the Brixton Academy in 1984. Two of your favourite bands, Noel.
Two of my favourite bands. And in fact, at U2's concert in Dublin recently, you opened for them again. Little known to you, you weren't actually there. But you did lose me a girlfriend in 1989, I have to say, because I was at your concert at the Olympic in Dublin, and I was listening to this exact song, and I said, so, this is true. I said, so how about the, you know, Hole of the Moon to the girl? And she said, you're not even getting the crescent. She lived on the Crescent in the part of Dublin she came from. So harsh, she left.
Somewhat
yes,
harsh.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for nothing.
You're welcome, dude. Yeah.
It's not Mike's fault.
It is. I'm holding him personally responsible.
It's your fault because you're rubbish with women. Anyway, but you, fortunately, you are great with pets. So, Animal Rescue every night next week on Channel 4. The week after, Noel Rescue every night on Channel 4.
Television gold.
They'll need a month for that, let me tell you. Right, Denise Luce is here to save the day. All right, thank heaven. Limbering up now next to get us all excited about 10 days of exhilarating athletics on the BBC as a cheerful champion who won gold in the Sydney Olympics for Team GB. Hurrah! Here to tell us about hosting our biggest athletics event since London 2012. It is Denise Lewis. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm feeling good.
Loving the new hair.
Do you like the curls?
I love the curls.
Thank
curls
you.
For the girls.
Curls for the girls.
I like. Now, you do often go, when there's a big event, you do often change your hair, don't you? I remember that you had that sort of severe wedge a couple of years ago, which I also loved.
Yes.
That was amazing.
You saw my blonde last year as well.
Yeah, saw the blonde, of course, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go down particularly well with a lot of people. My mum didn't love that.
Oh, well.
But, hey.
You can't upset your mum.
Can't
upset your mum. You've only got the one. Right, so, Denise, how excited should we be about the next 10 days?
Very excited.
Tell us why.
OK, so, World Athletics Championships, you've already said it's the biggest World Athletics Championships, I think, ever. Record amount of tickets sold. Over 2,000 athletes competing from 200 countries. And we've got the two biggest stars competing tonight. It starts tonight for the next 10 days. It's going to be epic.
Now, one is bowing out. That's Mr. Bolt.
Mr. Bolt's banner.
Is moving on to marathons from the 5,000 and 10,000. That's Mr. Farah.
That's right.
Or Sir Mo.
Sir Mo, yes. It's I guess it's going to be great to see them, you know, their big last hurrah compete. But, you know, for Mo in particular, it's been quite a journey. You know, I watched him come through the junior ranks. To say his final goodbyes on the track, where British people love him, to move to marathon, it's going to be awesome. So he runs the 10,000 tonight. He will get, I'm hoping, another gold medal to add to his ever-growing collection before he moves on.
That's 20 past nine. That's top of the bill tonight, isn't it? Okay, after the 100-metre heats with Usain Bolt, which is about an hour before, I think.
That's right.
And Usain Bolt has said today on the radio, he said, look, everybody knows I don't turn up unless I'm ready and I'm fit. My coach wouldn't let me. So people are, I don't know why, but because it's his last hurrah, like you say, everybody's sort of worried all of a sudden, aren't they?
They have been, but they, you know, because the margins are getting so close now, you know, it's not like when he burst onto the scene in 2008 where, you know, it's 2 metres, 3 metre victories. It's getting closer. The athletes are getting closer. He's not going to set world records right now. But he's still, for me, one of the best out there. You know, he won't come to the championships unless he's ready. What he has a unique capacity of doing is just out-psyching everybody. If you meet his eyes in that warm-up track, I think it's over.
Yeah, what he says to the other guys in the final, usually in the other seven lanes, is, look, guys, you just got to relax, which makes them even more tense because they can see that
exactly.
He is so relaxed. And the more relaxed you are, the better you perform generally in life.
And that's the way he's been from the get-go, and I don't see him going to be any different, and he knows the crowd are on his side. It's just advantageous.
Right, we'll never forget, those of us who saw it, who witnessed it, Super Saturday. How close could we come to that in the next 10 days? I hear six gold medals up for grabs on Sunday. Could we be remembering a Super Sunday 4 years from now?
I don't like to put pressure on our athletes.
Come on
the Brits,
they're not listening.
They're
having ice baths in dark rooms.
Well, yeah, Super Saturday. Well, you know, there's no Greg Rutherford. Jess is going to join us in the studio. You know, because six...
Don't tell us about what's not happening. Tell us about what is happening.
But, you
stop
know,
evading the question,
no,
Lewis.
No, I'm not.
Come on.
Yes, we've got some medals, you know, up for grabs. You know, we've got people like Laura Muir, who's running tonight, the start of the 1,500 metres. Katarina Johnson-Thompson has a great chance in the women's heptathlon, my former event. She's in really good shape, mentally, physically, so a medal is up for grabs for her, for
right.
sure.
But it's all very exciting. It starts, the opening ceremony is today on BBC Two at 6 till 7, 7, and then 7 o'clock it all switches to BBC One. And if you tune in tonight, you get the bug and you get the vibe and you get addicted, and the next 9 days will sort themselves out. You'll sort of meet in the middle and it'll just all be glorious. Now, Denise's story is quite interesting because as Noel was inspired by watching All Creatures Great and Small on the telly, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You were inspired to play sport, not by anybody close to you that you can remember, but by watching World of Sport with Dickie Davis on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Yes, the golden days.
Yeah, and Denise says she would watch anything from darts to horse racing. Now, obviously you then went on to throw the javelin quite well. So was it the darts that... Because it's just basically a big dart, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yes, John Lowe. My goodness. It's made me what I am today. Yeah, I just used to love it. I'd go dancing in the morning, then come back and I'd be transfixed. I'd just sit in front of the TV... proper couch potato watch World of Sport.
We all did,
so I loved it.
That's why all kids love... And all kids, you know, I don't know if this is the same now, but I used to know almost every answer to a question of sport because we watched so much of it.
So much of it.
We had so little else to do and it was always on. It was on everywhere, on terrestrial TV.
Yes.
That's
another hot potato.
Yes. That's a whole field of potatoes waiting to be boiled.
But anyway, listen, if you love athletics, you've got 60 hours of the BBC. It's a lot of hours.
Back on message.
Well, live.
Give me
you.
A high five. Give Noel a high five.
It's brilliant. And when you're finishing that, run up to Newcastle and adopt a dog.
You know, I adopted my dog.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. I rehomed my little baby.
This conversation is starting on the air, which is about to fade to off. Yeah. Water boys, get themselves ready, readying themselves indeed. Musically, there's been some hot seat changeovers. Very exciting with the backline here. Studio 6C. You've missed the whole of the moon, but it's available again on catch-up, as is everything nowadays, thank heaven. Still to come, like a Rolling Stone, to top the show off with How Long Will I Love You? Gorgeous. And next, their latest single, if the answer is yes. In a moment or two after we meet our next guest.
BBC Proms, part of BBC Music. It's 100 years since the birth of two of the most inspirational jazz performers of all time. Ella Fitzgerald.
I know that once it didn't matter, but now you're doing wrong.
And Dizzy Gillespie. In a special concert, acclaimed jazz singer Diane Reeves and virtuoso trumpeter James Morrison perform some of Ella and Dizzy's greatest works.
Flying high.
Ella and Dizzy, a centenary tribute, live from the Royal Albert Hall, tonight at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Thank you, 10 to 9. So with us already this morning, Denise Lewis in charge, along with her co-commentating pals of the World Athletic Championships this weekend, which start tonight, 6 p.m. BBC 2, the opening ceremony, and then the live action from 7 o'clock on BBC 1. Also with us, the Waterboys, their 12th album, Out of All This Blue, is released on Friday, the 8th of September, and they begin a UK tour in Bristol on the 18th of October. No finer night will you have out with live music as your soundtrack. Noel Fitzpatrick is here. Noel's Animal Rescue Live is on Channel 4 every single night next week at 8 p.m. and it's all very exciting. Now, Noel is one of the cleverest men I've ever met. However, he thought that our next guest, Holiday Granger, was doing this new Harry Potter thing, didn't you?
Yes, I thought, yeah.
Well, it's not quite that, but there is a link there. Okay,
so here we go.
So Holiday Granger is starring in a new BBC One drama adaptation of J.K. Rowling's nom de plume written murder mystery thriller under the name of Robert Gilbraith, which is called Strike. Is that about right?
That is perfectly
I was
on it.
Totally correct there.
Actually, what he said was something. No, she's starring in the new Harry Potter thing, isn't she? And as I say, there is a link there somewhere. Anyway, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome to the show. I'm very well. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Now, am I right or am I wrong? Here we go. So I watched the first episode last night on my secret coded thing.
Uh-huh.
And am I right? The Strike, who is the private detective, is like a cross between Cracker and Columbo. He suffered a lost limb in the military. He's a bit grumpy, monosyllabic, but one suspects secretly heroic and somewhat of an underestimated and understated genius. We also find out he has a mega rich dad he doesn't talk to and a mysterious, perhaps infamous mum he's fiercely protective of. He also appears to have a complicated relationship with someone who might be a love interest who refers to him as Bluey. Am I right so far?
Oh, and you got all of that from the first episode?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's amazing. I always thought that, like, Strike and Robin, the sort of two characters, you sort of get to know them slowly as the series comes on, but obviously not.
Well, you know,
they're perfect. I mean, you're watching
so,
well.
It's so beautifully written that, you know, every bit of information is subtly downloaded. And because I'm thinking about today, I'm writing it down as we're going. And that's what I got. So would you like to know what I thought about your character?
Yeah, go on.
Okay,
go on. What did you think about Robin?
Robin kicks in as an unwanted temp that he sort of forgot he's booked.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's about right, isn't it? Okay. So you play the cookie gorgeous, intelligent temp that he booked but no longer wants when you arrive, but sort of is not for leaving.
Yeah, exactly. She's pretty good. She's pretty practical. And so as soon as she starts, you know, doing the job well, he's like, all right. She's all right.
Would you like me to give you my analysis of your on-screen boyfriend?
Go on.
Okay, what's his name?
He's called Matthew.
Okay, Matthew.
In
okay.
it.
I think your character, Matthew, he's the dead fit boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right, because he's dead fit, isn't he? He's the dead fit boyfriend who seems like the nicest everyman in the world, but who I'm guessing might become a bit jealous and angry as the series develops.
Ah!
And I haven't read the book.
Am I right? Absolutely right.
All right, so.
Crystal ball right there.
What?
You've got a crystal ball.
No, well, honestly, I watched and I thought, I think this is what's going to happen. Now, of course, could I check all this by reading the books? Or is the TV adaptation a bit different from the books?
No, it's pretty close, so you could check it all by reading the books. And they are brilliant. So if you're going to read them, they are like Harry Potter, very like... J.K. Rowling writes so, like, beautifully that they are kind of very, like, sort of fast page turners. You could read them all.
Are you called Robin?
Very
because
fast,
you're, like, the assistant to a future Batman.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, you're joining in now, are you? Very good. He loves a superhero.
I would love if halfway through it takes a total veer and you end up flying through the skies with a Wonder Cat, preferably.
Calm down now.
I would love that, too.
Calm down and back off. Right, so now often these sort of TV duos, if they're successful, they can go on forever and ever and ever. Now, she's written three of these series, hasn't she, already? And I believe they're already booked up to be TV programmes, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's planning on writing a few more.
I think she's writing a fourth now.
She seems to be really busy all the time.
Yeah, well, she's J.K. Rowling.
Fantastic Beasts.
She's entitled to be busy, I suppose. So are you signed up for the lot, then?
Yeah. If it goes.
So you don't get killed.
No.
I need to my chat there.
Robin becomes a real superhero.
Tell us about the guy who plays Strike, because he's brilliant. I really like him.
John Burke.
I really like what, you know, it's nice when you're happy in the company of the people you're watching on TV and you sort of, honestly, you sort of don't really mind what they're getting up to. You just want to spend an hour with them.
Yeah, he's such a great actor. He's really subtle, but Tom, is so warm and charming, and that comes through in Strike, and he's got this kind of beautiful open face that you just kind of like as much as no matter how grumpy and sort of like monosyllabic Strike can be, you're still with him because Tom just has this gravitas and charm.
So episode one, scenes one, two and or three. Here we go, guys. Ready, Denise? No? Waterboys, ready for this? Okay, so what happens is you see model comes home, gorgeous model comes home to plush penthouse somewhere in London, probably Mayfair. Right? So she comes home and she looks fantastic. She's fantastic. You think, obviously, she is the zeitgeist of her time. You think, okay, well, we're going to spend time with her. That's going to be great. No, no! Jumps off the balcony immediately into the
terrifying.
Snow.
But the question is, did she jump?
Well,
the question was she
did
pushed?
She jump? Or, and this really proves I watched it. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Or, right, as Robin, okay, Holiday's coach says, why would she get changed just before committing suicide? Bum, bum, bum!
I told you, flying through the skies with a Wonder Cat. I knew it!
It's great, I love it. Do we know when it's on yet? It's going to be on this month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on soon. I think it starts in a couple of weeks.
Have they given us a date yet? They haven't. It's going to happen this month, but scheduling, they always leave it to the last minute now. They see what everybody else is doing, but it is brilliant. It is brilliant. It's called Strike. It's the best sort of new murder mystery kind of domestic TV show I've seen for ages. It's beautifully directed. It's beautifully shot. I bet you had a good time. It comes across on the screen like you may have had a good time making it.
Oh, absolutely. We had a great time. I mean, I just love Robin, the character, and Robin in Strike. I loved the book, so I was really into it. And
not
I think
Batman.
Everyone was.
Okay, look, leave me in my private fantasy.
Okay.
It's fine.
As always. Right, Waterboys, please take over. Waterboys, brand new single, If the Answer Is Yeah. Here we go, guys. 2, 3, 4. Like it. Love it. That's brand new, by the way. Doesn't sound brand new to me. It sounds like a classic. Okay, so album Out of All This Blue released on the 18th of September. The tour is booking now, starts in Bristol on the 18th of October. And the new album, not 10, not 11 tracks, which is about the average, about the norm for a new album nowadays. How many tracks? 23, ladies and gentlemen, 23. And that is what we call VFM here. That is big value for money. And we don't mind a bit of that, do we, Lynn?
Certainly don't.
All right. Are you sure that's right? You should not slip two albums out at once there.
It's a double album, Chris.
That'd be it then. Kids, we'll tell you what a double album is or was or might be again in the future later. Right, so lots of things going on this weekend. Very sporty. Lots of festivals taking place, of course. But our very own Vassos Alexander... going for just a short hop, a skip and a jump. Just the 50 miles this weekend?
50 miles this weekend.
Where's this happening?
It's in Somerset. It's the Mendip Hills.
So it's a 50-mile run?
It's a 50-mile run.
Okay. By the way, Noel, nowadays, this is one of his shorter ones.
Oh, my goodness.
even Denise Lewis is thinking, it's feeling a little faint, aren't you?
I'm feeling a bit sick, yeah, a bit nauseous.
Right. It's really good, though, Denise. You should give it a go.
No.
Not with the new hair. Yeah. By the way, how great does she look?
She looks amazing.
You said Noel looked great as well.
And Noel looks great.
Look you're
great.
A god among Waterboys men. Waterboys looking fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It's
okay, and it's still crazy after all these years, the Waterboys. By the way, this is Tim for the Waterboys. Hi, Chris. What's the name of the Waterboys' new album, please? Regards, their manager. Oh, you want me to say it again? Okay. Out of all this blue, out on the 8th of September. So who else is running in this crazy race with you?
I don't know. We're going down to Somerset. I'm going to race on Saturday while the kids...
Why don't you just run to Somerset as well?
It's not a bad shout. It would sort of save us the weekend.
It's a warm-up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him. How long was the Dragons Back Again that you ran earlier on this year?
That was 300 miles.
Oh,
but it was over 5 days.
I think he needs to go and see someone. I think he's got issues. You know what?
What do you mean you think?
He's running away from something or towards something.
Well,
one or the other.
They? Metaphorically, they say that he's running away from something. No, he really is running away from something. But thank heaven he comes back now and again. Thank you, Baz. Have a great weekend.
And you.
Stay safe. Cheers.
Online, on digital radio, and on 88 to 91 FM, BBC Radio 2.
Next question's from our guest to our guests. And some of the questions are brilliant, by the way. I mean, honestly, I am so impressed. I mean, I did this for a living. These questions you've got for each other are off the charts.
The fact that you don't know any of them is even better.
The fact that you don't know any of them.
I am scrambling
right,
around.
Rag and Bone Man first. Here we go.
You raised the lights when it was Friday. It's a blessing that we made it here so far.
On your radio today, Steve Wright in the afternoon, live from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. From the BBC Big Blue Tent with guests galore. He's got so many guests, such a big show going on there. I was going to come in on my motorbike today because I'm going to see my mum afterwards, but I've come in the car because I want to hear Steve's show and I can't really listen to the radio on the motorbike. Some people can. It doesn't work for me for some reason. Vanessa Veltz here at midday. Before that, Ken Bruce at 9:30. With us this morning, we have Noel Fitzpatrick. Noel's Animal Rescue Live is on Channel 4 every night next week at 8 p.m. Denise Lewis is here too. Join Denise and the BBC Sport team for coverage of the World Athletic Championships this weekend, starting tonight at 6 p.m. on BBC 2, and the live action starts on BBC 1 at 7. Holiday Granger is with us. Holiday stars in BBC 1's adaptation of J.K. Rowling's novel Strike Cuckoo's Calling, coming soon this month to BBC. Probably, I'm guessing, on a Sunday. I'm guessing it 9 o'clock on a Sunday. We don't know. We don't know so far. The Waterboys' 12th album, Out of All This Blue, is released on Friday the 8th of September, and they've got two more tracks to play for us before we finish today, and they begin a UK tour in Bristol on the 18th of October. But first now, questions from our guest to our guest. Holiday Grange, you go first.
Well, I'd like to ask the Waterboys a question. I know that you guys are jet-setting off to Spain for a gig tonight. I just wondered, where is your favourite city in the world to play? What's your favourite audience?
My favourite city to play is maybe Austin, Texas.
Mm.
I like American audiences. They know where to whoop. They always whoop in the right places.
Sometimes you can't. Can they over-whoop? Can one over-whoop?
No. You cannot over-whoop.
All whooping is welcome. Great question. Lovely answer. And the perfect time. Because sometimes these turn into conversations, these Q&A questions and answer sessions. Noel, your question, please.
My question is for Denise.
Denise Lewis.
Denise, I've always wondered when you're about to, just at the last second before you go into your event, and you think, I'm going to win, and then at the very last minute you think, I'm going to lose. And I feel like this all the time before I pick up a scalpel blade. And I have a thing that I put in my head when I pick up a scalpel blade. I think, I'm going to win, oh, I'm going to lose. What do you think of in that moment to keep you focused?
Oh, that's a really good question. I can't say it on there, but usually it's don't mess up, or words to that effect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we get the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, the thing is...
Does it keep you focused?
I think because I visualise a lot and I'm used to as an athlete, yeah. I always used to just think about one thing. What is the most important thing about this particular skill that I need to execute?
But do you think of the end point? Do you think... Okay.
I never think of the end point.
No, you don't.
No, stay in the moment is always important. Yeah.
Who started this whole visualisation thing that everybody does nowadays and clearly helps? Who was the pioneer of that?
I don't know, but it's something that I was introduced to sort of, you know, in my early 20s. I went to see a sports psych and I got it. I understood that I needed to learn more about myself and how I perform under pressure. When I started to lose it through the 2 days of the competition, And I just started to incorporate that into everything I was doing, whether I was training or I was at home, just thinking about skill, performance and being in the moment.
Oh, she's very good.
Know,
right.
Sorry,
do you have a question? You know, you are really good. Do you have a question for someone?
It's a bit of a, just an ordinary question, but it's to Holiday.
Hit me.
Do you remember your very first performance and how did you feel?
I do. I remember having watched it when I was older. I was only like five, and I had to say Hodge. And I do remember having a line that was Hodge Podge Splodge, and being at the read through, and the writer saying he was going to cut that line because we were overrunning afterwards, and I toddled up to the writer and said, "Can you not? That's my favourite line." So they put it back in.
Yay!
So at the age of five, you were consulting with the writer.
Yeah.
See, big things can only happen after that. Excuse me, can I talk to the writer, please? I'm five. I need to have a word.
In fact,
I need to have more than a word. Hodge just won't do. I want Hodge.
Yeah, Hodge, podge,
Hodge,
splodge,
and
please.
Splodge. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Talking of words, no finer lyrics in the world than from the Waterboys. Here we are now with the Waterboys. How long will I love you? Listen to this. Take it away. Better than ever. Mike, your voice is on fire, mate.
Thanks, man.
Sounds so good. So good. One more to come, and do stick around because it's going to be such a treat from the Waterboys. All right, everything that we have left in the next 10 minutes.
In a new series for BBC Radio 2.
Welcome aboard one of the most famous ferries in the world.
Janice Long joins music stars for a personal journey through their hometowns.
I talk to some of the most interesting stars in the musical firmament as we walk through important places in their lives.
So this is where I lived here, and this used to be a great big bus. Depot.
A long walk with, beginning with Holly Johnson's tour of Liverpool.
I just love it, really, because it's so different to London after you've been living there. It's much friendlier.
Wednesday night from 10 on BBC Radio 2.
Right, 20 past nine, Abdul Rahman Malik is in the house. Good morning, Abdul.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Very well. What lovely company we have here.
Beautiful company, and I'm liking the facial hair.
Are you?
It's very dashing.
Okay, can you have a word with my mum then?
as a fellow very bearded man, I had words with my mum when I started growing my beard.
You can't have words with your own mum about your beard, can you?
No, she's accepted it now. Right. It's a long relationship.
You're not going to Harvard.
I am not.
You're not going to Princeton.
I'm not.
Where are you going?
I'm heading off to Yale in a few weeks.
One of the big three. Okay. So what's it called again?
It's a world fellowship.
Okay. How cool is that? You're never going to.
It is. I know. It's so terribly pretentious.
We're never going to see you again. No, it sounds terribly cool. Sounds like the beginning of a movie.
I'm going to be back soon.
Okay. Do me a favor, though. You know, when you get out there, buy an old beaten up Volvo estate, because all great movies about universities start with a great beaten up old Volvo estate.
I think that's not a bad idea. Okay. My wife will be very excited about
that.
And
they go forever. And they're very commodious once inside. All right, today's pause for thought, please.
Chris, just as I think I've found the secret to making my son listen to me, usually a mix of bribery and affection, he finds a way to confound me. My entreaties to him are now met with philosophical answers. The other day, he tried to convince me that both our opinions had equal weight because, after all, he said, we're both just people, aren't we? So I was surprised when my wife called me a few weeks ago while I was away in Indonesia that our son had been acting withdrawn and less precocious. He was mum about it, but ended up spilling the beans one night while half asleep. He'd been experimenting with nail polish, and his fingers had been a cacophony of dazzling colors. It turns out some of the kids in the neighborhood didn't take too kindly to this. They mocked him and proffered the usual gender-questioning slurs. Sitting in my hotel room, I thought of my son, whose fearless gumption and can-do attitude I celebrate and love so much, being caught in a snare of mean words, guilt, and confusion. I was filled with anger and sadness. Over the last year, I've been working on a project in Indonesia, the most populous Muslim country in the world, whose complex cultures have been shaped by an intermingling of many ancient and beautiful traditions. I've been helping a diverse group of young leaders use the power of storytelling to confront a rising wave of intolerance. By telling their stories to each other and with each other, I've seen these remarkable women and men, some who've experienced violence for their beliefs, find healing and offer each other forgiveness. Come, let us know each other, urged the Anatolian mystic Yunus Emre. Let us make our work easier. Let us love and be loved. No one inherits this earth. No one's here forever. Perhaps the Water Boys said it best in their iconic song, "There are some of us whose vision is limited by fear or circumstance. We just see the crescent, but those daring ones, they see the whole of the moon." To confront hatred and hurt is to be daring. To be able to tell your story without fear is to be human. Everyone deserves to be understood. It's the lesson we all ought to be teaching ourselves and our kids. As my son would say, we're all just people, aren't we?
Oh, God.
Wow.
I love you. When you talk about your son and your mum and your dad and your wife, come over here one second. Because there is the power of love, isn't there?
There is.
There's the power of song, the power of prayer. Absolutely. But no greater power than the power of a story.
It's so true. I mean, it's what did Neil Gaiman say? We're all a collection of stories, and it's those bits and pieces of us that jigsaw together to understand and to be whole. It's amazing.
We love you.
Thank you, Chris.
Round of applause. And now the story of the travel.
Very quickly, the M5, there's an accident on the southbound side. It's junction 20 to 21, Clevedon through to Western Supermare. That's closed one lane. But there's also a separate accident on the northbound side at junction 21, Western Supermare. That's closed two lanes. I'm back with more in half an hour.
All right, thank you so much. And thanks to our guests this morning. It's flown by. It's time to say goodbye. I can hardly believe it. First of all, let's hear it for Noel Fitzpatrick. Denise Lewis, what is Noel up to, please?
Noel's Animal Rescue Live is on Channel 4 every night next week at 8 p.m.
All right, that's the voice of Denise Lewis, who's been with us this morning. Let's hear it for the next... Holiday Granger, what is Denise Lewis up to, please?
So join Denise and the BBC Sport team for coverage of the World Athletic Championships this weekend, starting tonight at 6 p.m. on BBC Two.
All right, the voice of Holiday Granger. Holiday Granger with us this morning. Okay, Mike Scott, what is Holiday up to, please?
Holiday stars in BBC One's adaptation of J.K. Rowling's novel Strike, Cuckoo's Calling. Coming soon.
Coming soon. Coming very, very soon, but we just don't quite know when. It's definitely in August. It's definitely on BBC One. I'm predicting 9 o'clock Sunday night, but I don't know. That's just a prediction. All right, that's the Water Boys there. The Water Boys this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Noel, what are they up to?
The Water Boys' 12th album, Out of All This Blue, with 1 million tracks on it, is released on Friday, the 8th of September, as they begin a UK tour in Bristol on the 18th of October. Go and buy it now.
All right. Oh, we can't. It's not out until September, but OK, fair enough, I know what you're saying. All right, Rolling Stone, here we go. Water Boys playing us out. Happy Friday, everyone. Have a great weekend. Ta-da. Steve on the fiddle, Paul Brown on keyboards, Ralph on percussion, and Angus Ralston on the bass. Thank you. They are the Water Boys. Thank you very much. We're out of here.